Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Well, hello, No Spinners. In case you see, if you're watching the video, you can see that I'm going to call this Raw. And it really does make sense that this episode is number 69. One going one way, the other one going the other way. There you have it. Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Kendra. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the 69 here at No Spin. I'm Tommy Joe Lucia. I'm in a really dirty shirt and a ball cap because I've been loading out the Utah Days of 47 Rodeo. So at this point, I'm going to hand it off to you two, and I'm just going to answer questions today. Here we go.
Oh, lovely. Well, we're all pretty mucked out right now, I think. But in a good way. It's a good tire. So, like, I am just coming off of, for me, it was Cheyenne and then Salinas. And then, of course, Cheyenne finished afterwards or whatever. But I don't know. Everybody, you know, knows who won by now. And there were some really cool things that happened in both places. Something that really stood out to me at Salinas, besides the 70 degree weather that's just status quo all the time there, which the Cowboys are so excited to put on a jacket, you know, in July. But this, you know, it's fun watching the Wacy Shala Stetson Wright gunfight, right, in the bull riding and the all around. And obviously a huge key to the race is going to be, you know, will one of them or both of them make it in a second event to Vegas? And so Wacy's bareback riding, he'd never been 90 before. And then I feel like in the last week or two, I've seen him be 93 times in the bareback riding now. And he's 29th right now in a second event. Meanwhile, though, Stetson has ridden his way up to 15th in the bronc riding, and they keep being 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 in the all-around and the bull riding, of course. But Stetson has taken almost $100,000 lead in the all-around, which in the grand scheme of things, you know, is hardly a lock, but it is pretty significant because they were like within a few thousand the last time we got together just the other day. So anyway, but Wacy won the all around at Salinas, including being second in the bareback riding average, second only to Jayco Roper, who his interview, since you kicked this episode off the way you did, he said something about, you know, it being a dream or something, but needing to weigh his words and keep them to a minimum so he didn't get fined. For those of us who remember, where was that? Was that Puyallup a couple years ago or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, anyway. And you know what? You know what he gets for being a card? He gets twin baby girls, which I think is awesome. So anyway, I also think, I don't know Jayco Roper, but Oat, being from Oklahoma, also said, like, they're a really cool rodeo family. And is it his grandmother that's Betty Roper, like this famous cowgirl? Like, he said they're a really nice family. And from a distance, not really knowing Jayco yet, he does cool things. Like, somebody else wins, and he posts about somebody else winning. And it's like, this is what a 92-point bareback ride looks like, or whatever. You know, like, he's very complimentary. Not everybody's like that. A lot of people are only, like, all about what they're doing. So it's impossible not to mention, say something about the team roping at Salinas, because it is the ultimate team roping rodeo in all of the PRCA. It's got the longest score line there is at 35 feet. Both guys come from the left side of the steer. It's the only five header we have all year long. Travis Graves won his third. Selena's buckles are coveted, you know, they're so beautiful. And Travis Graves won his third Selena's buckle, this time behind Tanner Tomlinson. And he was riding Colby Payne's horse, Coon, which is kind of interesting. I just done a story for Team Up and Journal on that horse. And anyway, if I'm not mistaken here, Tanner Tomlinson and Patrick Smith, I didn't stop to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure that they hold the record at the NFR. So there's the Tiny Thomas and Mac, and then there's the opposite conditions in Salinas. So to see Travis Graves, he's making this like amazing resurgence. You know, he's like seriously contending for a world title. And he's one of those guys that is like on everybody's list of, you know, guys who are like the greatest that have never won a gold buckle or whatever. And it's really fun to see him doing so well. And also a mention of the fact they have gold card roping and the legends themselves. My other brothers, Jake and Clay, won that. That was cool. You know, they won the regular team roping title together there at Salinas in 1988. That's a long time ago, right? And 37 years ago. And Clay has actually won that rodeo three times. He also won it, I feel like it was in 81 with Brett Beach and 83 or 4 with Mark Pickles Arnold, and then 88 with Jake. So anyway, that was cool. And I got to go, totally honored to go for Ace Berry's induction into the California Rodeo Hall of Fame. That was neat. That guy is pure class. And he won his first go around at Salinas when he was 13 years old and, you know, has the record for youngest NFR qualifier at 15. And he's the dude who, was it 72? Yes. Won the team roping and the bareback riding at the NFR the same year Phil Lyne won the calf roping and the bull riding. And that's never been equaled, you know? But he is such a gentleman and a pure class cowboy. So it was fun to step out of the trailer in the morning fog there, and there's Ace, you know, and he's just, yeah. He's quiet, he's cool, he's just a gentleman. So that was really fun. So
quick question, because you're the only person that would probably know the answer to this. Why is it rodeo? What's the backstory on this?
Because in Spanish, rodear, I think is how you say it, is a verb, and it means like the roundup, and that's like the root of the word rodeo. Right. And so
it goes back to the Spanish.
The old, yes, and you know, California, the old vaquero roots, and that's at the root of that rodeo, and so they keep it original. It's the rodeo, and they call it Big Week, and that. Yeah, it's one of a kind, as is Cheyenne. So Cheyenne just got over a couple days ago, and you know, talking about legendary things that have happened in our sport, Leighton Berry's little brother, Leighton, of course, is out for hip surgery. His little brother, Cade, edged by half a point Joe Alexander's 51-year-old Cheyenne record. So that was a pretty big deal, set all the way back in 1974 by Alexander the Great, right? And I mean, you know, I thought it would be so cool when something like that happens. I just wish that we had the ability to roll tape on Joe Alexander's ride, you know, for that many points, because so much has changed. I just, it's weird for me now, like when I watch a video of even like some of Ty Murray's rides and stuff, like so much just keeps changing that it would be really fun to see. But you know, some of Jim Shoulder's rides, because things were so different, and I mean, but the bareback handles were leather, they just held on to them, you know, and so it's a completely, in a way, it's a totally different event, really. So it's hard to compare. Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, and then, you know, Wacy Shaw and his 90-point rides in the bareback riding, his very first one happened at Cheyenne the other day. Championship Sunday was extra cool for the Navajo Nation. And I really enjoyed doing a story for the AQHA in the last few months about the cowboys and cowgirls of the Navajo Nation. Because on the reservation, rodeo and basketball are it, you know, are the ultimates. And so these people, you know, Danielle Lohman, winning the breakaway roping, and Aaron Sinogini, teaming up with Canadian Jeremy Bueller, fellow world champs, 15 and 16 respectively, for those two, winning the team roping. Tyke Kipp is a guy that's a circuit guy that's been around forever from New Mexico. He won the bulldogging on Navajo cowboy Rooster Yazzie's bulldogging horse. That was, I mean, it was so cool and inspiring. And I just know, like, after speaking to people like Eric Rogers and Derek Begay and Sinogini and D'Lo and Cassidy Dennison and, you know, Bailey Bates, they take their role model and mentorship. Their beginnings are very humble. And it's like, if I can do it, you can too. And it, the inspiration from rodeo to kids growing up on the reservation is tremendous. And all those people that I just mentioned, they're cool and they're worthy of looking up to. And, you know, but they've spoken to me about, like, the work ethic you get from, like, gathering sheep or cattle on foot, or the different, you know, but how that, the character that some of them were like, Sinogini's like, I didn't even realize the character being built in me, or it, when you're a kid, so you think some things are hard, but what it really made me was tough, you know, and resilient and capable of doing so much. And so, anyway, homestater Brody Kress is now a 4-time Cheyenne saddle bronc riding champion. That was cool. Sankey's horse, The Black Tide, if I understand correctly, that was that horse's third straight Cheyenne win.
That's what I've heard.
Wild.
But you can't, nobody's going to touch. There's not a more beautiful animal in the air than that horse. At Salt Lake, that horse is truly gorgeous in the air and hard to ride. And like, I talked to Wade in the hallway and I said, you know, are you going to clone? And he goes, you know, we don't do the cloning. And he said, you know, had we spent the money to do the cloning, he wouldn't be here, because we wouldn't have spun those set of mares, right, on studs. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, his point of view, that some people, you know, pour a lot of money into this and cloning and genetics, and that's fine if that's your model. But again, you look at the Sankeys, the Rossers, you know, these people that crank out one of a kind. Like, there's been amazing horses, but when he went through the arena again at Salt Lake, I was just, it's just beautiful. Didn't mean to interrupt, but that horse, they're going to win every time if you ride him right, because it's just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I mean, he's just, what a horse.
What a horse. And I mean, the name is majestic, The Black Tie. You know, I mean, it's pretty great. But I imagine that when they're all licking their chops when they're waiting on the draw, right? Because,
oh, yeah.
Because he looks like one of those that's fun and not just will tear your shirt off, but
maybe. But I think, I'm telling you though, I think the reason that they're rewarding him is that he's got enough power in him that, here's the deal, there's 15 guys that can ride him, and then there's 10 guys that probably could ride him. And the rest of them, Kendra, they're not gonna make it.
Right? Would you say that about Virgil?
Well, I think now, I'm not a saddle bronc rider, so this is not fair, and I don't want to hear it from any no spinner. But young Virgil, no, I wouldn't have said that. Right, the younger horse, harder to ride. And this is just opinion. Okay, again, I'm not a saddle bronc rider. The older Virgil, yes. Is that, if that makes sense, right? The current Virgil, yeah, I think. And then when you start to set expectations with the pencil and the clipboard, right? I mean, that's just real, right? These judges have expectations on what they're going to mark these horses. And it takes a long time for that to change. But that horse deserves every single point he gets. And everybody that wins on him deserves it. I don't think it's a walk in the park to ride him, is all I'm saying. And that's all I'm saying.
I continue to think, man, these judges, it's almost like it's pretty hard because they're human. Now, if you've been a world-class saddle bronc rider and you probably just block everything out, but you know, some of these matchups and situations are so built up that I'm like, how does that not just get your blood pumping? Because you're a human being, you know? And so anyway, it was something. So we have to mention the injury of Dylan Tarot and one of Stace Smith's crew, one of his rodeo family. Last Friday during the semifinals, he was kicked in the chest by a bareback horse. And we all knew, okay, he got kicked in the chest, but I didn't know till last night, talking to a few different people, including Tommy Hersig, that when they loaded him in that ambulance, there were four doctors right there in the dirt, and they gave him 1% chance to live, and they.
My goodness.
And some of these doctors, by the way, were in the dirt with Lane Frost 36 years ago.
Also. Really?
Yes. And cited the injuries as very similar. Of course, Lane took the horn from Taking Care of Business, but it was a, you know, rib chest injury. And apparently the obvious, like the chest between the chest and the heart, the bleeding and. It was so similar and 1%, you know, but a few, you know, you got to figure in 36 years, a few things have changed, but it appears that this like army of angels, it was like the perfect storm that actually saved Dylan because the way it happened and the way, you know, this doctor saw that and this doctor, something about like the way he dropped his arm, it was like wild, but they were talking apparently inside the ambulance. Now there's like surround sound and they're talking openly with the ER doctors and they had the operating room open and ready and staffed. And like, it was like a sprint to the hospital and straight into surgery. And I mean, there are so many ways, like it's like, I don't know. Tommy's like, we witnessed a miracle it's today. It's July 29th. And this is already a tricky day for me because yesterday was the 13th anniversary of Brock Cresta dying at Cheyenne. Pain pills for a rib injury from a steer wrestling wreck in March that year and a few beers at the concert and he didn't wake up, right? He went to the concert and then he didn't wake up. And now I can't believe that Lane's been gone for 36 years. Both of them left us at 25 years old. But Dylan, you know, he not only survived, but now, you know, he's been in an induced coma, but now they're starting to like bring him out for a few minutes and see if he can make it off of the vent in the heart, you know, heart machine and all that for a few minutes. And he can't, and then they put him back under so he can rest. But they were concerned, of course, because it was really touch and go and scary in that arena for a few minutes. They didn't know about his, you know, brain function. And apparently when they do bring him out of sedation, he's alert. He knows who people are. You know, it is just something. So there's that. And you know, in the 2 days, it happened Friday and then Saturday and Sunday, Cheyenne volunteers raised over 30 grand threw a 50-50 raffle for him. And, you know, now there's a Venmo and we can send checks to a bank and all that's, you know, posted now. But as usual, and, you know, Tuckness wore a blonde wig. Dylan has long blonde hair. Tuckness wore a blonde wig on Championship Sunday in honor of him, you know, to kind of give him a little salute. And he goes, you know, I know he's not awake today to see this, but, you know, someday I hope he looks back and it's just kind of my little salute to him, like, you know, miss you, pal, kind of a thing. And so a few other little quick pieces, because it's all set. But a few days ago, we unexpectedly lost Joni James Smith. Joni was Miss Rodeo Idaho in 1989. She was Miss Rodeo America in 1990. Her mother, they're the only mother-daughter Miss Rodeo America in rodeo history, I believe. Her mother was Miss Rodeo America in 1962, but Joni was a fitness fanatic. And last Monday, 1 week ago, she ran 5 miles, and then she didn't feel well. And within the week, she had passed away. And Joni was married 34 years, I think, to my friend Mike Smith, who was the 1998 world champion steer wrestler, and they have 4 kids who are grown and cool and well-educated and stars like both of their parents. But that was a tough one. It was sudden. And so I know that Ed Oat is headed to her service tomorrow, Wednesday, tomorrow on the 30th in Louisiana. So thinking about them, NFR steer wrestler Dirk Tavener just tore his right pec. He had surgery today, July 29th. He got hurt at Deadwood. He's out for the rest of the year. Cody Webster, the bullfighter, the great, who just worked Cheyenne, is going to have shoulder surgery to reconstruct his shoulder that he wrecked at Nashville in May on August 6th and is hoping for a December return. I'm assuming he's hoping he gets the NFR and can be back, but it's a like a major reconstruction, so that's a big one. And before we start talking about the medal winners and the gold medal rodeo in Salt Lake City that you are the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. Bobby Kerr, it's my understanding like he just worked Spanish Fork, I think it was, and that his cancer's back and that he has chosen to be out there with his cowboy friends working rodeos instead of home on hospice. That is my understanding of it. And I just, man, I, you know, him and his wife, Susan, everybody loves them. And that guy's a cowboy. And so just thinking about them and, you know, what they're going through. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, have a lot of trying stuff in front of them. So anyway, thinking about them. Okay, Salt Lake City gold medal winner, Wasey Shala in the bareback riding, right? He was 90 again for the gold there. And I wanted to ask you about this. I saw that Hayes Waite was 93 on Sankey's Magic Touch to win 18 grand in the finals and that Jesse Petrie won second. But I saw that third through eight, for no score, including Stetson Wright and Kai Hamilton, each of those guys, third through eighth, that split that got 2,000 apiece. And again, in the bull riding, it counts, right? So that is how that worked, right? Okay. Cool. So they bucked off and they won 2,000. It counts because the bull riders voted for it to be that way, for ground money to count. Okay.
For ground money to count and to go back to the earlier. The earlier posted scores so that ground money counted. Now, of course, you know, what we have done in the past, you know, I like to see the guys, everybody knows how I feel. I like to see the guys that ride in the last round when it counts, get all of it. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we've done at Salt Lake to comply with the event directors and the PRCA's wishes to be team players. So there you have it.
Well, okay. So let's talk about it. I mean, you were front and center for all of it.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stories. I'll start I'll kind of run through some stories and then we'll circle back. Now, literally loading out today at Fair Park. So I'm a little concerned, Kendra, because I haven't put any filter thought into this. So hopefully I don't get myself in big trouble here. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning. So we have a parking problem in Salt Lake in that we don't have anywhere to park trailers. We can park 50 trailers. Most of those have access to power. It's on a gravel parking lot, which is hard on horses until they can get to the stalls. We have limited stalls. So we're very stringent on parking. Well, I don't know if it was 2 days before the event started. It's all running together now. In comes a trailer, and it's Haven Medjet. And I'm like, and I see him pull in, and I'm like, they're like, well, you're going to have to go out and deal with this. He's here way early, and he's not up in the first set. So I go out there, and I'm walking towards Haven, and Haven's walking towards me, and it's hot. And I'm like, Haven, yeah. I said, what are you doing? I said, you're not up till the second round, and the ground rules say you can't come in. And he goes, well, I got in a wreck. Look at my trailer. And I looked at the trailer, and I'll tell you, at first looking at it, I didn't notice anything. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, are you okay? Or is your horses okay? And he goes, well, I don't know. The horses are on the way to the vet. And then upon further inspection, as I got closer, the entire tongue of the trailer was folded down flush with the nose. And the trailer was setting on the tractor with the ball bent at a 45 and the steel plate bent. And as we discussed it, a semi had slammed on its brakes right on the interstate in front of them. And they rear-ended the semi because a little car pulled out in front of a semi here, you know, going up and down this corridor. And it was scary. The nose of that trailer, that the steel nose, was sheared off. And so we backed him into a spot. I don't even know how we got him backed into the spot. He got out and jumped to go check his horse, you know, and he's just coming off an injury. So, I mean, he was noticeably down, and I get it, right? And his driver was noticeably shaken. And I got a machine over there because we were trying to disconnect it. And when I lifted the trailer up, it just came off. Like it was sitting there and looked like everything was connected. So it's amazing that they got to our rodeo. Trailer's still sitting there. They're doing some welding on it today. So that's first. I'm like, yeah, you can go ahead and park, Haven. Sorry to run you off, but I'm not running you off. He went rodeo and showed up at our rodeo, came back, didn't have any good luck. So that's how it starts off. And I'm going to just go from the top to the back here, and then we'll circle back with questions. So, you know, hats off to Heath Stewart, who puts together our livestock, and we pay really good money for our livestock in both timed events and in the rough stock. And the set of calves that came had been roped on twice at Belle Fourche and were prepared, which is what I understood to be what was needed to enforce the ground rule, which is that you're flagged out if you clear a calf, right? If you flip him over. And so they started slack. And funny enough, I'm gonna brag on the judges, even though I'm gonna be hard on them in a little bit. Had a really good set of judges, like all those guys. And in the first set morning, we had the first head at 10 o'clock in the morning, which worked out good. And then they roped that night. So they got there, they stayed there, they got their stalls. You know, they didn't have to come back and forth three times like they did last year to get to the short go. And so they flagged the guy out. And then in the performance, they flagged the guy out. Well, then the next morning, and the event director for the calf roping said that those guys got their times back. So I called Mr. Knowles, and he said he was going to check into it. I said these cattle were prepared. Well, so I asked the judges, I said, well, what did we violate that would allow this, the rule, the ground rule to be waived? And they said, well, there's, we, at first they didn't really know. And they had told all those guys, because when all the ropers showed up, the first round of guys, right, Kendra, they're like, wait, is this a DQ for, and the judges said, yes, it's in the ground rules. Well, first off, when they pulled the ground rules, the PRCA printed 6 of 18. I mean, when you looked for the ground rules at the rodeo, 6 of our 18 ground rules you could find. The other 12 were documented, but evidently where big, this is what I was told, where big rodeo ground rules reside. I don't even know what that means. But they were out there and you could find them, but none of the contestants had really read the ground rules, which ours have been consistent for 7 years now. And so, so there was that, but they were available, but you had to know where to find them. Anyway, long story short, it goes all the way to the top of the food chain of the PRCA, and we're told that the two guys that were flagged out get their times back, which consequently knocks a guy out of the final eight who played by the rules. And by doing that, in that, as you can imagine, Kendra, in that whole set of guys, it would have changed how you roped your cattle at the rodeo, had you known. So I don't think this is over, but we went through the performance with it being a fine, and it's a $250 fine for the size of our rodeo, I believe, a fine instead of a disqualification, and the two guys that were disqualified early got their times back, knocking a guy out of the short go. And so then let's talk about the cattle. The from a committee's perspective, these cattle were healthy and felt good and ran hard. Now, if you watch the rodeo, lots to this story. One calf number 271, I remember that calf because he's burned in my brain. He broke two ropes. Two ropes, which made me go, is that the same calf? So we loaded that calf up and took him and weighed him. Because first off, they asked for weight tickets on the cattle. We had them. They had never been requested, but our cattle guy had weight, average weight tickets and weight tickets on all the cattle. But we took and weighed number two, I think it was 271. And he weighed 271, which is under the 280. And he was a part of the aggregate, a heavier side of the aggregate of those calves. But interestingly enough, that calf, for whatever reason, broke two ropes, which would have made you think that he was heavy, and he actually wasn't. So I don't know why, how it is that he broke two ropes. But anyway, these calves were strong. They ran hard. They got up after they were roped and ran out of the arena. And so from my perspective, right, that helps me in my climate where tie down roping is heavily analyzed and sometimes criticized. And you had to be a cowboy. I mean, these calves kicked and they were strong, but the set was even. This is my opinion. You know, I'll get someone will say that I'm wrong because I'm not a calf roper. I thought the set was even. They had been roped before. We did have weight tickets on them. So technically speaking, we played by all of our rules and it all got shuffled from the top, and we'll see how all that shakes out in the tie down roping.
Well, is any of it like being deliberated over that it could possibly change the outcome or no?
Well, I heard that the athlete that got kicked out is appealing it. And I don't know. I mean, it might be one of those situations where double points. I don't know. You know, I just know that we really did do everything that,
Yeah.
refreshingly enough, on our end. We didn't do
Yeah.
anything wrong, and which is good,
Right.
right? You
And I
know.
get that. I just to me it's like, and I don't know enough of the detail to know exactly, but it's how do you deal with a what if? You can't, you know, just 'cause you possibly could have been in the finals doesn't mean you would have won anything. I mean, it's really tricky now.
Well, it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. I mean, admittedly, it's a mess. And you know, and here's the funny thing. So there's a set of rules for prepping cattle so that they qualify for a no time, right? So it's different set of qualifications. If you have that in your ground rule for a no time, there's a different set of prepping rules. Well, the weight ticket rule that the judges didn't ask for that we had is in a rule that was finally found after 5 hours of everybody we could find trying to get us that list of rules, right? Like everybody, like a mass, every and d judges, everybody. Finally, it comes and it's documented in a set of rules that said board rules. So again, I don't want to talk too much about this because I don't really understand it, but I'm going to let the governing body govern. And we don't like it because we fight the battle to advocate for tie down roping. And for the rest of the performance, the slack was different than it would have been otherwise. Here, those guys handled their cattle different than they would have. Don't care what you say, wrong. And that doesn't help us here. That's all I'm saying. But I'll let the PRCA govern this situation the way that they feel is just. I have my opinions. It's a little raw right now for me to get too spicy here, but that's the facts that I know. From being in these offices with our secretaries, with our judges, with everything. And, you know, I think they made the wrong decision. I still think they made the wrong decision. And, but I guess it's their decision. It is their decision to make. So that's the tie down roping. Then we'll go into the bronc riding in our gold medal round, which we on national television, we had, and this goes back to what you said about splitting hairs in the bronc riding. I was giving some of the judges a hard time from my little podium there because I can't imagine judging. Well, first, let me go back to Wacy. The horse Wacy rode at our rodeo was rank, and I think he knows now in the bareback riding. Run anything under me, I can ride them and I can spur them. So you know, it's the difference in dabbling in bareback riding and going in Salt Lake and getting on a rank dude, a horse that could have thrown off several of the guys in the pen, didn't throw him off. He stayed at the front. That kid's a bareback rider and a bull rider. But I mean, like, it's not cutting your teeth and I got lucky. He earned it. He earned every single point. And I was, you know, there's about four or five times in the rodeo that I throw my fist up, and that was one of them because that was the real deal. So
Good for him.
then we go to bronc riding and we go through the bronc riding, and it is a rank bronc riding. All of our rough stock was ranked. It was rank, and I felt sorry for the judges, just like you said, Kendra. It was hard to judge that. Well, the scores come in through our computer system, one way. And we learned several years ago, if you remember, that we need to bring those judges' sheets in and have our secretary verify the scores before we award the medals, because several years ago, we paid two first place prize monies because we announced it wrong and it didn't match the sheets. So we don't do that anymore. We spend the time to get those judges' sheets in. Well, doggone it, here we go. In come the judges' sheets and the bronc riding. And when the scores are put in and the signed papers are in, there's a three-way split. Now, not gold. Gold was gold. Stage won it. But the judges' sheets came in with a three-way split, which made us go four places back to break that tie. Took a long time. If you're on TV, you're watching it. It's different than we announced in the live action. We have the signed judges' sheets. We verify it. We award the gold, silver, and bronze medal. The judges make comment as they go to the next discipline that they want to revisit the bronc riding. After the rodeo, they revisited the bronc riding, and adjusted those places. And, you know, I had conversation. So there's two ways to look at this. And for me, for one, I don't like it because it makes it look like our team can't do math. And by the way, we did our math right. You know, we all of our math was right. We did what was on the sheets. We did it correctly. But in fairness to the pro officials, the comment that I heard, which I can't exactly argue with, Kendra, and that is the right guys need to win. And
nobody can argue with that.
You know, and so do you let procedure? I don't know the right answer to this.
So that to say that they turned in scores and then were talking amongst themselves and were like, yeah, I don't know if I turned in the right score?
Well, one judge said that he wrote down the wrong score and that he was going to fix it. I don't know who talked. I'm not going to get into that because I don't know. I don't know what happened because we continued on with the rodeo. And those guys were busy with the rodeo. We run a fast rodeo. They were going. They did make comment that they want to revisit the bronc riding. And so the scores that came in that we tallied and awarded the gold medals on off the sheets, that placing was adjusted. And, you know, and I do think that the right guys won in the end, right? I think that the way it was placed at the end, in my opinion, and again, everybody knows this has just been around this 40 years, but I have a pretty good eye for this, that the right guys won in the end. And I think that matters. And
it's pretty hard to walk up to somebody and say, sorry, I need that medal back, right?
I trust me, I know. And, you know, there's been comment of maybe you should do the medals one discipline later. But the truth of the matter is this wouldn't have changed this scenario, right? It wasn't that we did. So remember when I told you we paid first place out wrong and paid it twice? Well, that was our error off of the sheets. This wasn't our error off of the sheets. Okay, in the moment. So, you know, but here's what I'm going to say, because I want to say this. I am really not, I'm not angry and I'm not casting blame. And I like the judges. And I think nobody's in all these, in the calf, in the tie down roping. Yeah, there's a couple people in that game that I think are cheating the system. I think it's BS. There, I said it. Okay. But in this bronc riding situation, I think everybody involved wants the best result. And I respect that. Okay. I do. I don't like it. I don't like giving medals to the wrong people. I don't like getting medals back. I don't like any of that. But I respect doing what's right first and what's best second. And that's on my email. And by the way, what's best would have been to leave the medals alone. What's right is what was done.
Well, it's and my mind keeps wondering to be like, okay, what if this happened at the 10th round at the NFR?
I don't think it would have went down. Right. I don't think we're not the NFR. And so yeah. So frustrating. A lot of this kind of stuff we dealt with. You know, the ground was good. We had a great rodeo, great competition. Really, really good. Heath Stewart's a friend of mine. He puts together the livestock for me. He doesn't send any of his stuff. He does it because we're friends and he wants it to be a great rodeo. And it was the best set of rough stock that we've had in a long, long time there. And I'm proud of the event. Now, let me get you to the, because this kind of ties back into Dylan and Cheyenne. So the event ends and I get an emergency call to get to the back pens. Hall of Fame stock contractor Sammy Andrews, 78 years old, has his horses here. Proud to have Sammy at our event, has his livestock and some of Diamond G's. He's in the back pens. He's got a black ball face horse that blows through a crack in a gate when they're sorting them to get ready to load them. It hits Sammy at 78. Violently hit the gate, hits Sammy, knocks his head wide open, lays him out in the alley. As you know, if you've sorted before, and if you haven't, then this is a little sorting lesson. That horse blows through a crack in the gate, and all the horses run through it. And so Sammy's out laying in the alley. And what happens, those horses go to the end of the alley, they turn around, and they come back, and Sammy's out. And it's just God. And angels that the stock contractor that does our Young Guns rodeo, Cameron Tuckett's there, and he's there and he jumps in and he grabs Sammy, who's out by his boots, pulls him back into the pen about the time the horses clear him. Or Sammy Andrews would not probably be here today. They start to do pumping on his chest, and Gold Cross Ambulance, who's a partner of ours, a big partner of our event, which not very often does the ambulance actually sponsor the event. The Gold Cross, Gene Moffitt and his people are on my board of directors. Their ambulance staff is there. They immediately get Sammy. They start working on him. They put him in the ambulance. And when Sammy left, I was concerned that he was going to be okay. Fast forward, Intermountain Health, another partner of ours. Same thing, Kendra. They're talking on the way to him, all the way there. They get him there. Here's the great news. 2 days later, Sammy Andrews checks out of the hospital, goes to his Airbnb here in Colville to rest up with 13 broken ribs, a broken collarbone, a concussion, and a bunch of staples in his head. And he's resting up now. And he'll be heading home, 78-year-old tough now, and I mean wiped out by a gate. And so to come full circle, if you don't believe there's a stronger power above that's watching you and decides when your ticket is to punch out, then take note of what we talked about today with Cheyenne and our back pins, right? I mean, these are miracles.
It is, you know, I have such strong faith. It's also, as Dusty Tuckness was saying to me yesterday, a testament to cowboy people. Like, we help each other. You know, like, we do whatever it takes to help each other. And like that guy you said, you know, jumped in there and helped Sammy, or, you know, people will take a hit for somebody else, you know, just without flinching.
And how about saying, thank God that there were qualified and available professional medical staff. Thank you to all those paramedics that sit there during Slack. Thank you. Now, and I've been the guy that's custom. Now, you know, because the first performance here, I had to have a talk with my medical staff, because in our first performance, we had a bull rider get knocked out and a bullfighter get completely wiped out. Two people asleep in the arena out, and the sports medicine team, thank God for them, they're out there. We've got two people not moving, 10,000 people silent, and it took way too long to get a backboard out there. And you can bet that I had a very long discussion, because we've all seen, God bless their hearts, occasionally the paramedics that need the oxygen before they get out there, God bless their, you know, they're sucking on the tube because they could do some laps. But that wasn't the case. Okay. That wasn't the case. And, you know, I am going to say, even though I got onto the paramedic staff, but thank God I'm coming, you know, thank God for them, and that they're at these rodeos and that they know their business and that they save lives. Because let us not, as we say all the time on No Spin, let us not take for granted all the cogs of this wheel that make this thing work, including those paramedics, even the ones that need to suck on the oxygen to get out there. So anyway, thank God that Sammy's well and going to be okay. And so that's start to finish. That's a little bit of looking, probably too much looking behind the curtains, but I've got to say hats off to my staff. My staff is an A-team. Randy Spraggan spending 39 hours on that ground before the first girl rode into the arena. 39 hours, you know. My team spending 5 days preparing that venue for people to show up, and awful proud of the product and the PRCA for sending great competitors, and for the 7 stock contractors that brought the very best livestock that you could, I mean, just world champion livestock, for Greg and the broadcast team for putting it out there and letting people watch it. Proud of the product, and we hope people enjoyed it.
Congratulations. I'm sure you're good whipped.
Yeah, if you guys are watching the video, you see I'm in a t-shirt in the truck. Just got done loading the last container that stores the Ribs and Rodeo decor for a year. And yeah, this is it. I'm going to go take a shower right after this, because I am rank, baby. Right. There you have it.
You did it.
We got through it. Great team I've got. All the team. So very proud of it. So, you know, okay. I don't know. That's a lot. I don't know what else we want to talk about. We can sure do feedback next time. There's a lot to talk about, but I think we push feedback off, and there's a lot to think about in our little conversation today.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And it, you know, part of knowing so many people is, you know, there's going to be just some amazing happy things, and there's going to be hard things and sad things and tough things. And, you know, I think of, you know, Helly Ballastreri, Brock's mom, and Elsie Frost. And it's just, I don't know. We do things, we get tired, something doesn't go our way, but gosh, there's perspective all around us all the time. And, you know, Dylan, it's going to be a long haul, but miracle that he's still here. And, you know, I'm sure Sammy is going to, he's pretty banged up. It sounds like, you know, it's going to be a while before he's, you know, jogging again. But that's a wonderful thing that he's on the mend.
I hope when I'm 78, I can take a prefert gate to the forehead and just walking out of the hospital with 13 broken ribs and a collarbone, I would be urinating every time I sneezed. I mean, these guys are dirty tough, I'm telling you.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Oh, sure. Anyway.
Well, I just thank you, Kendra. Thanks for putting up with me. I had a hot phone moment. So now we've both had a hot phone moment. Kendra's was in Cowtown. Mine was at Utah State Fair Park. These two team members of mine on No Spin could not reach me 1 minute before because I didn't stick my phone in a glass of ice like Kendra. I'm a little more technical, but I did have it on the AC in the truck. It came alive. We 69'd it here today. Thanks for joining us. This is No Spin Rodeo. I'm full of you-know-what and vinegar. Until we meet again, we'll see you peeps in a week. We're out of here.